go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benson.
And I'm Ben Bolin. Scott, are you excited for our sequel today?
Super excited, Ben. Super excited. Because, we talked about the iconic Mini, right? The classic Mini in the past.
Yep, we talked about the classic Mini in the past, second only to the Model T, this award-winning car. It was from 1959 to about 2000.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. 41 years.
Mm-hmm.
41 years of 5.3 million cars. So that's why, it's out there. It was everywhere at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it ranked in a online popularity poll or something like that. You know, the most iconic car or the most, something like that. I'll have to look at my notes.
Yeah.
But it placed just behind the Model T. You're right.
Which is a great second place, that counts more than some first places. And what we touched on as we ended that episode was the reemergence, the don't call it a comeback, resurrection of the Mini, if you will, with the BMW Mini, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to say it because, I know it has the same general shape, the same idea behind the original Mini. It's done differently. It's done in the modern sense. And, it's an entirely new car. It does have that iconic shape still, but it's a much, I hate to say bloated, but it's a bigger version of the original classic Mini. And, there's a lot more to it than just that. But
yeah.
BMW, they've been kind of kicking this idea around since about 1994, really. That's when BMW took over the Mini Mark from the British Aerospace Group, which actually owned the Mark from 1988 to 1994. I didn't know that in our previous the classic Mini episode that we did. We mentioned three, I think. We mentioned the British Motor Corporation. We mentioned British Leyland. We mentioned the Rover Group. Apparently, the Rover Group gave the Mini Mark over to, or sold it over to, British Aerospace in 1988 until about 1994 when BMW picked it up. And, of course, they had big plans for the new Mini. And it wasn't until about 2001 when BMW finally got this idea into production.
And let's go ahead and let the air out of the tires on some of this here. The emergence of the 2001 BMW, was divisive in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I'll say a lot of people loved it. A lot of people hated it.
Mm-hmm.
There were some awards, some criticism that were going on there. A lot of criticism came from people that were involved with the original Mini.
Sure.
I know we talked about that in the past episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk about some of the awards that came around for the new Mini later, or unless you want to do it right now. But we do have information that is very positive towards the new Mini.
Right.
I just want to make sure that we get that out there because last time it sounded like maybe we were a little down on the new Mini. Didn't want it to be that way at all. In fact, I think we were pretty careful about saying that we weren't.
Yeah, I think so because we cited some other reviewers' criticisms of it, but then we also pointed out that some of that stuff comes from a necessity. If I remember correctly, Scott, I was the one who was a little more down on it than you were.
Well, we're going to have to talk about this later because there's a fairly decent list of awards, and I know there's more than we're even going to cover here today, but we can definitely bring the new Mini. We can herald them a little bit and say that, they've done a great job with the new Mini.
So what do we know about BMW?
Well, for BMW, we just need to know a little bit about BMW and then we'll move on but they're the parent company that owns the division of, I should say that Mini is a division of BMW. That's probably the best way to say it.
Yeah.
Of course, that's Bavaria Motor Works. They're headquartered in Munich, Germany, founded in 1916. So BMW has been around a long time. That won't surprise anybody. With Audi, Mercedes, they're kind of like the German version of the Big Three. BMW builds cars, motorcycles, bicycles. This Mini move was kind of a surprise. I don't think a lot of people would expect a German luxury automaker to pick up a mark like Mini, but they saw something in it. They saw that there was a market for this, and it was something that they weren't really doing anything similar at the time. They didn't have any kind of little commuter cars or anything like that. Mentioned that they do luxury cars. They also do sports cars, of course. They're a performance brand, performance luxury. So, this seemed to be a good fit for them. It was something that they could fill that niche. And it was, I think it was sorely needed at the time, you know, because it's a vehicle that gets fantastic fuel mileage.
Yes.
It's bringing back an iconic brand that people love. I mean, they knew that it was well liked. You know, worldwide too. It wasn't just something that's European. It was loved everywhere, really. I think it was a good move for BMW.
Yeah, I think they were definitely correct when whatever spider sense kicked in and had them go against a bit of the company's grain to purchase this mark and to bring this vehicle back to the people because, you know, of course, if someone is already familiar with an, as you said, iconic vehicle, then they're also more likely to buy it. But in order to create this and to, more importantly, have it street legal, in the modern day, they had to make quite a few changes. And when we talk about these changes, it's important to know that not all of these are bad. As a matter of fact, quite a few of them are necessary, including the size.
Yeah, we talked about size comparison between, I think we compared in the last episode, a 1964 Mini Cooper S with a 2006 Mini Cooper S. Mm-hmm. And I know that Mini came out with the new Mini in 2001, but we went to 2006 because that was kind of like a major redesign.
Yeah.
And the specs are readily available, and really the exterior size hasn't changed at all. I mean, other than, you know, the different models that they have, which are, you know, there's a wide variety of models available, but we're talking about just the Mini Cooper S, you know, the hardtop version. And we said that, you know, it's more than twice the weight of the original Classic Mini. That has a lot to do, that has almost entirely to do with a lot of the safety features that are included in the new Mini, which weren't in the original Mini, the Classic Mini. So, you know, those are necessities, things like, you know, disc brakes and ABS and electronic brake force distribution and, you know, a lot of different stability control, traction control. I know those are all programs within ABS, but that's just one example of, you know, like a lot of different components that have to be added to the vehicle. There's airbags, there's additional safety concerns like rollover, caging, I guess would be the best way to say it.
That gives a lot of weight to the frame.
A lot of weight. Yeah, that's right. And they have to make it bigger, you know, with appropriate crumple zones.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the size thing, you know, it's nearly 2 feet longer than the original. And it's also 20 inches wider and taller by 3 inches too. So it's a much bigger package that the current Mini is in versus the original Mini, which was supposed to fit in what, a 10x4x4 box, I think?
Yes. Yep.
No way the current Mini is going to fit in that box, but, you know, I've been kind of going back and forth a little bit via email with a listener.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Ryan George. And Ryan has written to us a couple of times. Now, he's a big Mini backer. And he didn't necessarily suggest a Mini episode or anything like that. But we've been talking with Ryan for years about his Mini.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you recall back in the episode when we did about car wraps, remember when wrapping vehicles with different designs?
Yeah, that's a deep cut, Scott.
Yeah, it goes way back. We were in contact with him because he had his Mini wrapped. I think he called it Hutch.
Mm-hmm.
And named his car Hutch. And it is his second Mini, and you know, he's a big fan of these things. So he writes in often if anything comes up about Mini. And he just recently wrote to us about it, you know, how he loved the classic episode that we did.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to the new one. One of the things, and this is kind of a little bit out of order here, Ben, but I just got a note today from him about that goes back to our speed limiter episode.
Ah, yes, yep.
And I'm kind of shoehorning this in. So
okay,
but it goes back to our speed limiter episode, and it's about stability downforce because he wrote and said that he has a BMW mechanic who works on his car and told him that one of the reasons that his Mini Cooper S is limited to 135 miles per hour is downforce. So remember we said there's a reason why manufacturers won't let it go over, and there were like four or five reasons. Downforce is the one. And I think we said something about stability. We mentioned stability, cornering. You can't corner when you're going, you know, 90 miles an hour or 100 miles an hour or whatever.
Right.
You try to keep it a little bit lower. You try to keep it, you know, at a sane speed, I guess. The 135 thing is because the Cooper S doesn't provide enough downforce at speeds above 135 to keep it on the road solidly. It will kind of, as he says, it'll get squirrely on you. It'll kind of float all over the place. And, you know, it's just not a good feeling when you don't have full traction at 135 miles an hour.
Right. And that's something that, of course, comes up when manufacturers are extensively testing vehicles beforehand, which reminds me of another episode we've done about automotive testing, which is, just so everybody knows, one of our more morbid and gruesome episodes. So with Halloween coming up.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah, check that one out. I guess I shoehorned that in. But also, that's not the only stuff Ryan said about the minis.
Yeah, you know, he wrote in, really a lengthy note mm-hmm. here, and I'm gonna keep it brief and, tell you what, I don't know, should we mention the kind of fun stuff yet or not?
Let's save it till the end.
Okay. Well, there's a few different things here that he mentioned. I'm gonna save some fun stuff to the end because okay. he mentioned a few things that I want to bring up. There's at least three items. But he says that, you know, he's on his second, Mini Cooper S. He owned a 2002 and currently owns a 2005 model, mm-hmm. Which is the one we mentioned, Hutch. But he was also talking about, his car has 17-inch rims, and he was just at a track day event, right? You know, like a local track day where you pay $50 and you get an instructor and you get on the track for 30 or 40 minutes, something like that. It looked like a lot of fun. He sent photographs. He sent, video clips, you know, had a couple of, what do you call those cameras? The
GoPro?
GoPro cameras. Yeah. Uh-huh. He and his friend had several of those on the cars and it looked like a fun day.
Yeah.
But I guess he was kind of this little back and forth about, you know, if they're good at, if the original Mini would be good at drag racing, if the current Mini would be good at drag racing or on track events mm-hmm. like his was. He really had a good time. I mentioned something about his 17-inch rims. And he said he'd seen the original, and I said, oh my gosh, in the classic episode, we totally forgot to mention that the original Mini, like way back in the late 50s, early 60s, 10-inch wheels. They all had 10-inch wheels. Now, to give you an idea how small it is, that's almost like the size you could pick up at like a Harbor Freight or something for a wheelbarrow or something.
Yeah, wait, did we really not mention that?
No, I don't think we did. They look like, almost like golf cart size tires. They're very, very small.
I have seen lawnmowers with larger tires.
Yeah, I think so. He mentioned something about a snowmobile, trailer. You know, that, the trailer tires were even bigger than that. I think they were probably 12-inch or 13-inch tires. So, you know, I just can't believe we didn't mention the 10-inch wheels, but I wanted to get that out there. And at the end, I promise we've got three kind of fun items that I think, our listeners are going to enjoy looking up and seeing, you know, what people are doing with minis now. There's a lot of creativity out mm-hmm. there.
And we're going to get to that. We'll also name the, some of the stats for the Mini, which we started with, naming one of the variants, the mm-hmm. one-of-a-kind 17-inch racing wheels. Mm-hmm. But then we'll also dive into one of my favorites of the Mini variants right now. But before we do that, Scott, do you want to take a moment and have a little break?
I would like to do that.
And we are back. So, Scott, earlier we mentioned that there are a lot of modern Mini models. I can't believe I said that without messing it up.
Modern Mini models. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, there's more to it than really people initially see, I think. I mean, if you look at the site, if you go to miniusa.com.
Which is an excellent site, but make sure you have at least 20 to 30 minutes to mess around when you click on it.
That is that's a good way to put it, Ben, because there's so much information there. It's really overwhelming. And that's, one of the hurdles that I had, putting all this information together. I've got notes all around me now today. Mm-hmm. A lot of it we won't even get to, I'm sure, but, it seems like I was writing down everything that came up on the screen and probably not necessary, but there's so much out there and they love to be able to do comparisons between these different models that they have. And all the models, I mean, do you want to just list the models quickly or do you want me to do it?
Sure. Right now, let's list by the ones that are currently available. Mm-hmm. We've got the Mini Hatch hard top. That's from 07 to the present. Mm-hmm. The Mini Clubman, which is 08 to the present. Mini Convertible. That's 09 to present. The Countryman, 2011. The Coupe, 2012. The Roadster, 2012. And the Paceman, 2013.
Uh-huh. And there's one more, too. There's you're saving that one. Are you going to save that one?
Are you talking about my favorite one?
Your favorite one.
Okay. There's also the Mini John Cooper Works.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing about these is that, and it's not so funny, really. They have all the different versions. Like, let's say you buy a hardtop. You can buy a Cooper hardtop, you can buy a Cooper S hardtop, and you can buy a John Cooper Works hardtop. Mm-hmm. And then if you buy the Coupe, you can buy the same options, it's a little bit more money. And then if you buy the convertible, you can buy the same options, it's a little bit more money. So it just kind of progresses up that way. The least expensive model that they have right now is the hardtop Coupe. And that's priced around, it's just under 20,000, just a little bit less than 20,000. And these are MSRP prices, excuse me. And the most expensive one, I bet you can guess which version that is. That would be the,
It's the mini John Cooper?
The John Cooper Works version, but it's actually the Roadster version of the John Cooper Works.
So that makes sense.
The two-seat convertible version of the, of the John Cooper Works, and that's, that price is, man, Ben, that one's up around $36,000. I think it's $35,700. So, it jumps from $19,700 all the way up to $35,700. So that's a wide range, and there's everything in between. A lot of different body shapes, sizes, the hardtop convertible, there's John Cooper Works edition of these. A couple of them, Ben, there's two that stand out here that have a little bit different, available options. And, I just want to mention that the Paceman, that's one that has something they call, the Cooper S All 4, which is an all-wheel drive system. So it's an off-road version. And there's also the Countryman, which also has the same Cooper S All 4, system that you can buy. And that's the all-wheel drive system. So these are off-road vehicles. You know, they're intended for, someone taking it on a rugged trail or whatever.
Yeah. And if we look at if we look under the hood, we see that there are even more variations. Like the European Mini has a different engine. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. There's a diesel engine that's available for the Mini there. And also, I don't think a lot of people here in the States even know that there's a diesel Mini. There's also an electric version of the Mini.
Oh, yeah.
If you go back early on, but way back to 2001 for the models, initially there were four entry-level models. There was there was the Mini 1, which is like the ONE Mini 1, which was really basically the entry level, which is even lower than the Cooper, just the standard Cooper. So you had four choices in the very beginning in 2001. You had the Mini 1, you had the Cooper S, and then the John Cooper Works Edition, which was available right from the very beginning. So, by the way, did we mention who John Cooper was, right?
Yeah, we had to, because John Cooper worked with I'm going to mispronounce his name again. Isigonis?
Yeah, I think that's how you say it.
He was the owner of the Cooper Car Company, and he designed and built Formula One and rally cars. He saw Isigonis's Mini, and he thought, you know what? That could be competitive.
Exactly. And, of course, they throw the Works label on there like it's a factory team. That's what that means usually. Mm-hmm. So John Cooper Works, that means simply the guy's name plus the Works, which is the factory team. So it's kind of a racing heritage thing. They've been doing this with him since 1961 because, not with him anymore, but with him originally, they were working in 1961 until about, 2001, the original Mini design. And then it just carried over from 2001 through the present, because now they still have it. Now, John Cooper, I don't know if we also mentioned this, he had 3 Monte Carlo rally titles and 16 Grand Prix wins.
Yeah, so he wasn't just building cars.
No, this is a guy who, he knows what he's doing, this guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's apparent. And you know what? I'm also a big fan of that John Cooper Works edition of any of these Minis that we see. I've seen a few of them on the road. You don't see as many of those as you do of the Cooper S or just the Coopers.
It makes sense.
It's just a price thing, I think. Really.
I think part of it is a price thing, but for the money, for that big jump in money, in price point, you do get some great value. I'm just going to go ahead and point that out.
Can I just go do? We want to back up just for 1 second. We do that? I want to talk about the engines. Because I think this is an important thing. We kind of mentioned, some of the variants, that you can get the engines in Europe that are the diesel engines. You can get the electric Mini.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to mention that the European Mini, we talked about the diesel engines, but these are just the standard petrol-powered ones, gasoline-powered engines. They use a 1.4-liter inline-four version of this engine they call the Tritec engine. And what the Tritec engine is, it's a Brazilian-built engine. It was co-developed by Chrysler and BMW. So it's this really strange mix of manufacturers that are coming together to build this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all the other gasoline-powered Minis, now not the ones that are just in Europe, because that was the European version.
Mm-hmm.
Any other gasoline-powered Mini uses a 1.6-liter inline-four version. And then we mentioned the diesel already. So there's this weird little kind of, I guess you'd throw an asterisk on it and say that this is the Tritec engine version. Mm-hmm. And it's got kind of an interesting history. It's worth looking into. you know, when they're working together like that, when Chrysler, BMW come together, and I think then eventually Toyota ended up using that engine as well. So there's there's a lot of strange relationships there that you wouldn't normally think of that come into to the Mini.
Yeah, and I don't have the note on this right now, but I do know that one of the other engines that they've been using is also a product of an amalgamation of companies.
Mm-hmm.
Note on the diesel engine for the diesel Mini, that is built by Toyota. So it's strange when you look at the Mini and you consider how many different companies have been involved.
So we've mentioned some of the engine versions. We've mm-hmm. mentioned some of the variations. Now, oh, you know what? I want to mention one other John Cooper Works variant. There's the Mini Cooper S with John Cooper Works GP kit, which is kind of like the greater racing type version. I don't know. Maybe greater is not the best way to say that, but even closer to street performance racing.
Right.
Barely street legal. That's how they put it on their site, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But this Works GP kit, includes a lightweight, kind of like a race prepped, John Cooper Works, overall package, I guess, is maybe
right.
the best way
so
to say
they've,
it.
So they've dropped the weight drastically.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also added a lot of style on it, you could say.
Yeah, I would say so, because there's a style house in Italy. It's called Bertone, or maybe Bertone.
I think it's Bertone.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll leave it at that.
It's been a while since I bought some custom racing vehicles.
Yeah, it's been a while for me too, yeah. But, that's a styling house in Italy. And, they've been in Turin, Italy. They're coach builder, manufacturer. This reminds me of kind of the Carmen story.
This is great, the Carmen Ghia story.
Yeah, just a little bit about that, don't you think? I mean, it's similar. They shop this project out to somebody else and say, you know, we'd like you to create this model for us because we're not going to do it here at the factory, but here's what we want in it.
Mm.
And you're going to have some free reign over design and let's see what you come up with. And that's what they did, with this Works GP kit. Very, very few of these out there. I mean, you just won't see them. Because there's a limited production of about 2,000 cars in the 2006 model year.
Yeah, so if you see one, you've won the Car Watchers lottery,
yeah,
or one of them.
Pretty much, yeah, that's right. But really, it's, again, 2006, that was when this entire makeover happened, you know, like this inside out, complete redo of what they even came back with, you know, from 2001. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Mini was redesigned in 2001, 2006, they took it to another level. And that's the version that we see now.
Yes. Okay, so let's move into a little bit more of an affordable range, a John Cooper's Works vehicle that we can, what's the word?
More reasonably afford. How about like the John Cooper Works hardtop? How about that?
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that's not a bad idea at all. That's one of my favorites. It's got some important differences here, and I like how you had already pointed out the wealth of variations in here. Here's mm-hmm. some of the stuff that the John Cooper Works hardtop has as a twin scroll turbocharger. The transmission's upgraded. You can get signature body styles. It's got the 17, 18, or even 19-inch wheels.
19-inch wheels. I mean, think about where they came from. I mean, from the 10-inch wheels all the way up to 19. That's pretty amazing. That's remarkable.
Yeah, especially when you consider even adding 2 feet to the vehicle,
yeah,
doesn't really it doesn't make those wheels look small.
I guess so. I mean, there's a lot of different things though. I mean, it's not just about all appearance either. There's a performance exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's weight saving items throughout. I mean, even if it goes down to the pedals or, you know, the shift knob or whatever, all that stuff is lighter weight. I know it's silly when you think about it, but overall, all of that stuff adds up, and it really does. I mean, they've made a conscious effort to reduce weight, to up the speed, the horsepower on this thing, and the torque. It has 208 horsepower. I think you mentioned that already. And the torque is way, way up there. It's 192 pound-feet of torque. And if you use this overboost feature that they have, it goes all the way up to 207 foot-pounds of torque. And I know when you're thinking about, you know, some of these supercars that we talk about every day here, or, you know, the giant, you know, the great big monster muscle cars that
right.
we talked about, they've got a lot higher torque. However, this car, this package is so small, it's so nimble and so, I guess, precisely put together that this pairing, this, you know, 208 horsepower and, you know, 207 foot-pounds of torque, that's more than enough to get this thing moving quick. It's a fast little car. It gets decent mileage. For the John Cooper Works edition, it gets 35 highway miles and 26 in the city. I don't know the combined exactly of that. Mm-hmm. So it's probably around 29, something, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But that's pretty decent, of course. You know, and to use the same engine as the previous models. Now, the Cooper Hardtop and the Cooper S Hardtop, you know, they both use the 1.6 liter. This is the same 1.6 liter. The thing is, it's not the standard. It's not the turbo. It's the twin scroll turbo. So they just kind of up the game a little bit every model that they produce. You know, it goes up a little bit for the Cooper S. It goes up a little bit more for the John Cooper Works.
And what's interesting to me about this wide variation here is that it allows a much larger demographic of consumers, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, again, take a look at their site. Take a look at, I know I've pointed to this several times, but the Mini USA site where you can compare and contrast models.
Yeah.
It's really well done if you click back, you know, through back and forth. And I wanted to say that, you know, when you this one stuck out to you, this they call it the JCW, the John Cooper Works. That one, it's so dramatically different from the other models. I mean, it's similar in a lot of ways, but it's also completely a different animal, really.
It kind of has the least to do with the original spirit of the first Mini Coopers.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's maybe a good way to say it. And I don't know, that'll make some people mad, but some people will say, you know what, you're exactly right, because it's still a lot bigger, a lot heavier. But this one is not really about efficiency. It's not really about just getting around town in the most efficient manner possible. This one is about, you know, enjoying the drive, which the original was, to be fair. But this one is, and, you know, 35 miles per gallon is nothing to sneeze at, but it's not the 60 miles per gallon that the original was getting.
Right, whatever
it was. So, and yeah, it does deviate from the original idea just a bit.
But I don't think that is necessarily a game changer. So to everyone I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to everyone who just became livid with me for saying that was the furthest away from it. You know, I challenge you to prove me wrong on that one. How is that not the most distantly related Mini Cooper?
And truthfully, you know, later they came up with the Cooper S models that were the rally editions and all that.
Sure.
So, you know, they did kind of vary from that a little bit. They said, you know, we've got this extremely efficient package. Let's now make one for fun, because these are fun to drive, even though it's an economy car, even though it's something that's meant to just be kind of a get around town vehicle. They're fun to drive. People are really enjoying it. Let's make it even better by making it just a little bit faster, a little bit more powerful, something that people will want to buy that have a little bit of extra money. You know, instead of going out to get, you know, the new Alfa Romeo that was out at the time, I'm going to get a, you know, John Cooper Works edition of the Mini.
See, and I think there's nothing wrong with that, because, you know, you make the car that people want to buy. You don't make a car and then say, it's not Field of Dreams. It's not like you can say, if I build it, they will come. But before we jump into the next few things that we really should talk about here, let's go ahead and take a break for a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. And you know what? One thing that I had mentioned, I didn't quite get to my point because I got sidetracked, but I was going to say that when you're on that website, that Mini USA website.
Yes.
And you're clicking through the options and the models. There's a distinct difference between when you click on the Mini Cooper hardtop and the Mini Cooper S hardtop, and then you click over to the John Cooper Works hardtop. You know, you're in the same realm, I guess, with
you're
the
in
hardtop
the same ballpark.
And the Cooper S, exactly, for those two. When you click on the Cooper Works version of any of these models, it's almost like you're going to a different site.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, really promoting that in a different way. It's a different bird altogether. You
it's
know,
a it's, different experience.
Exactly, yeah. So it's, you know, you can tell the difference when you get on the site. It looks dramatically different for any of the Cooper Works versions. Okay. Let's talk about some concept cars.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of dramatically different.
Yeah, this is a little bit different. Now, they did have some concepts, which I think this probably passed over a lot of people. They didn't even realize it. In 97, they had a concept car called the ACV30, which really was an influence on the new Mini that they were going to come out with in 2001, trying to, you know, kind of test the waters a little bit, see if people were still interested in it, if it was something that people were going to want to buy. Because, you know, you got to remember, right now, in 1997, the original Mini was still out there.
It was, before 2000, yeah.
They were still building the original classic Mini at that time. So, you know, for 1997, them to come out with this, this ACV 30 concept, that was a kind of a big deal to say, like, we're really intending to move this forward. Kind of the biggest move since, well, since the very beginning, really.
No kidding.
They had some alternative fuel powered vehicles. They had a hydrogen powered concept in 2001 that was shown at the Frankfurt Auto Show.
And then, of course, there's also the, electric powered versions, like the Mini E was in production 2009 to 2010, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And they also still have some electric, all-electric Minis in use around the world today, even in Hollywood. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, in Hollywood. Yeah, I'm sure that in Hollywood they've got a few now. There's also, well, yeah, that's right. They have to be in Hollywood. I've got a note here about the Italian Job, the 2003 version of the Italian Job. You know, with the current ones. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't think that there were any electric Minis in there, right?
No.
You would be wrong, because, not you, Ben, specifically. Whoever was saying, like, oh, there's no electric Minis.
No, it was
that.
Me. I'll fess up.
Apparently, they used electric Minis for some of the subway scenes in the 2003 movie The Italian Job. I guess because the, subway authorities thought there might be carbon monoxide poisoning issues, dangers, if they were running these Minis all day in the subways, because there just isn't enough, you know, ventilation, enough space for that, the exhaust gases to get out.
Yeah, and they tried, they didn't just try hydrogen and, electric power. They did also have a series hybrid conversion, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, it was developed by a company called PML FlightLink, which replaced it. They replaced the original drivetrain with a 160 horsepower electric motor in each wheel, which was like kind of an efficient onboard, an efficient onboard generator, which ran the whole thing. Now, if you've never seen one of these, cars with the motors in each wheel.
Oh, check it out. It's the coolest thing.
They really are. And if this is right, I'm kind of reading between the lines here. Now, 160 horsepower, that could either be a combined total, you know, that each car had 40 horsepower. I'm sorry, each wheel had 40 horsepower, or it could be that each wheel had 160 horsepower.
That's what I'm hoping.
I am also hoping that, but I'm kind of doubting it too because of the size that this thing
it
is.
It just sounds unreal given the size of the, you know, the generator and the motors.
But oddly enough, I've seen this in other cars where there are these ridiculous amounts of equivalent horsepower that they put into these cars with these in-motored wheels. I'm sorry, in-wheel motors.
Motors, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The, these electric motors. So, I don't know. I'm going to have to really dig into that and find out if that's true or not. But this PML FlightLink car, I'm going to have to look up and see if that's 160 total or 160 each, which would be really impressive.
Oh, I wanted to make a point as well. Aside from concept cars, the concept cars often became a showcase for the creativity of the Mini engineers. But the creativity for Mini engineers is not restricted to people who are employed by the company alone. Minis also have a pretty thriving kit car culture there. There's over 20 something conversions or kits.
That's pretty interesting. So like aero kits and wide body kits and all that kind of stuff. That I love. By the way, can I just say this?
Yeah, go for it.
I absolutely love any car with a wide body kit on it. I found I've been looking at Challengers with wide body kits, which are amazing looking. They're fantastic. There's a guy that passes me every day. You know the BMW 2002 models, the really small commuter car.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a guy with a it's just got, you know, it's just painted in primer right now, and it's been painted in primer for like 3 or 4 years. I've seen this car around occasionally, but now I'm passing this guy every day. Mm-hmm. He's got a 2002. With a wide body kit on it. You know, it looks like it's right off of the racetrack. It's amazing.
Oh, cool.
But of course it's primer. So, you know, until he gets a decent, you know, shiny paint job on that thing, it's not going to look all that great. But I love the wide body kits. And if they make a wide body kit for a Mini, I think I'm sold.
You know, Scott, you know how it is too on a project car. Of course, you have to you have to pick your battles. You have
True.
To prioritize your strategy. So, maybe he's waiting until he gets all the body done to go for the paint job.
You know, I've seen small little progressions throughout the years over, you know, what he's doing, smoothing and that type of thing, you know, between the body and the kit itself.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's doing it right, I'm really tempted. I know where the guy drives into every morning. I'm kind of tempted to go over and talk to him some morning and maybe report back here to Car Stuff and tell everybody what I know. But it may be kind of a fun little project to get on.
We need to make sure you have a badge so you look official, so you can flash it in your wallet.
A Car Stuff badge.
But nice. I digress. Now, I mentioned kit cars. Let's also talk briefly about the motorsports. Did we mention that in the Classic Mini podcast a little bit, didn't we?
Definitely. Yeah, we talked about, the Monte Carlo rallies and all the other rallies that they were involved in. And, I think they were starting to, work their way into the, World Rally Championship, early on, but I'm not entirely sure that, you know, with the Classic Mini. I know that the Mini Countryman, there's a World Rally Championship car that they've entered, I guess, or they planned to enter it in 2010. I don't know if it actually did or not. I'm going to have to dig that up. I think that's what happened because it says here in 2011, the factory team competed in a reduced program. So they did enter in 2010. Mm-hmm. They backed it down for 2011 just a little bit because I think the funding was cut, for that project. You know, the times are tight, Ben. You know, a lot of the companies are cutting way back. So, the World Rally Championship thing was probably something they decided that, you know, they're better off not doing. There's more to it though than that. There's, the RSR Motorsports, team, which has entered three Mini Coopers in the Coney Challenge Series, which is like a street tuner class type of race. They also have the Mini Challenge Motorsport category, which is a global race, really. Starting around 2010, it ran in Germany, Australia, England, Spain, New Zealand, Saudi Arabia. So it's a worldwide championship, really. And it's just a lot going on. And of course, these are a favorite of grassroots racers. So if you go out to your local track, you know, your local SCCA track, you're going to find Minis all over the place. Classic, modern, all of them. Of course, you know, we mentioned Ryan George. He took his out to a track day. I'm sure that he wasn't the only Mini there. I bet there are a lot of them because people who own these things, you know, they realize that they handle really well. They've got a lot of pep to them. They're quick. Yep. They're quick cars. Not necessarily overall fast on the straights or anything. You know, limited to 135 for the modern.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's a fun car to drive on the track, and I'm sure that a lot of people are taking advantage of that. And I know that, you know, the smaller tracks I've been to in Michigan, like the Waterford Hills Road Racing Course, you know, they've got Minis all over the place there on race day. So it's a fan favorite. It's not a fan favorite. It's also a driver favorite.
Ah, yes. And speaking of favorites, what better way to segue into the numerous awards that the Mini has won?
Yeah, exactly. Now, we mentioned criticisms of the new Mini last time, and you know,
it's too big.
Yeah,
doesn't get the right mileage.
Yeah.
It's
not the right intent.
It didn't have the right intent.
The original intent, you know, that was the big deal. This is the way not to do it. That kind of thing.
So now let's talk about some good things.
Definitely. You want to hit us with some of the first awards that it won?
Sure. Well, luckily, I stole your notes for this one, so I know some of these. Let's see. The Mini Cooper and Cooper S won the North American Car of the Year Award in 2003.
That's a big one. Nice to win a Car of the Year Award, you know, early on because, you know, we're talking a model that was introduced in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
For 2003 to be the North American Car of the Year, that's a big deal. The next one would be, I guess, Top Gear named it the Cooper S, their small car of the year in 2006.
And that was the Mark II, right?
Yeah, for the Mark II. That's the second version. The 2006, that's when we talked about they did this inside-out complete redo of the thing. And people are very happy with it, including Top Gear. And you know, that says a lot. They're pretty particular about their cars. I mean, they'll let you know if they don't like what they see.
Yeah, they make no bones about that.
Yeah, exactly. And they could be pretty harsh on some of the ones that they don't like. I mean, we've seen some funny stuff in the past, right?
That's part of the show. But the Mini Cooper D got an award in 2008, right?
It was nominated anyways. I think it came in second, which again, I don't know if that's really so bad because, you know, here's a relatively new car. It's 2008, right? Mini Cooper D, the diesel engine, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was nominated from a company. What's the name of the company? What Green Car. Yeah, it's called whatgreencar.com. It was nominated for Car of the Year Award. But it lost out to another Ford, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ford Focus Econetic.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, you're competing against a big company like Ford. I mean, I know it's a BMW. That's fine, but you still got a new model. I don't know. It's not so bad to say that you took second place in that one.
It's an honor to be nominated.
Yeah, listen, we're just trying to get the positives out here.
You're right. I'll stop throwing rain on the parade.
All right, so let's move on to 2010, April of 2010. Kelley Blue Book included the Mini Cooper as one of its top 10 green cars for 2010. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a huge deal. And the awards continue even to the present year. In 2013, the International Engine of the Year Awards, which took place on in June, right? The Mini won an award for its iconic 1.6 liter four cylinder twin power turbo.
Yep, that's right. So that's probably the twin power turbo. That must be the John Cooper Works version that we talked
about. Yeah.
Now this is the third time in a row that it's won in this category. From 1.4 to 1.8 liter engines. So that 1.6 sits snugly right in the middle there and does really well. It wins a lot of engine awards. So, you know, if you're cautious about buying a new used car or a new car, you know, and you're worried about engine reliability and all that, just keep all this stuff that we're talking about BMW in the back of your mind that, you know, it's really under that skin. It's BMW.
Mm-hmm.
And they're winning awards with the engines. They're, you know, loved by the people that own them. I mean, they're people that are just fanatical about their Minis and what they do with Minis. And there's a site, I think have we mentioned
this?
Oh,
we didn't mention it yet.
Yeah, there's a site called minispace.com. And again, that's minispace.com. And what it is, it's a creative space for Mini owners and enthusiasts, I guess. And it's a place where they can come together where there's competitions and events and people and design ideas. And it doesn't have to be limited to the cars themselves. That's kind of the crazy thing about this is that you'll find a little bit of everything on that site.
Mm-hmm.
And this ties back into our email from Ryan George that we mentioned early on.
Nice segue.
Thank you very much. I was wondering how we're going to get this in, but we did it. So I mentioned that there are like three or four things that I want to mention about about Mini owners and what they're doing with them. And this comes directly from an email from Ryan. Says that, you know, when you do the podcast someday on the BMW Mini, which is what we're doing today, don't forget all the stunts that drivers are doing in Minis now, like these. And he mentions three different things here. Now, we, in the classic podcast, had mentioned a Mini event called Mini on the Mac.
Yes.
And that was about trying to pack as many Mini Coopers and Morris Minis and every version of Mini on the Mackinac Bridge in northern Michigan. And they failed that day, you know, to reach it. It was like 600 short or something.
Yeah, but just because a lot of people didn't know.
It was, I think that was, you know, an ineffective the planning of the event, the way it was laid out. But I think they'll do it next year, if I had to guess. But these other three versions, you know, these other three things that Ryan mentions are something that I think our listeners are going to really enjoy this. And I'll tell you, they're YouTube videos, all three of them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you the exact name of the YouTube videos and you can look these up. The first one was, someone is doing backflips with their minivan.
Yes.
Backflips.
And we don't mean backflips with the Mini parked beside them.
No, we mean like X Games type backflips in a mini car.
Mm-hmm.
This is titled, the video title is We've Landed Daredevil, Chicharitz Full Mini Backflip. And you can just look up Mini Backflip and it'll probably come up,
yeah,
right? How about that? But really it's a guy doing in his John Cooper Works, Mini. He's doing a backflip in France, somewhere in France, on a ramp onto a snow ramp. And it's pretty impressive, really. It's a short video, but it'll show you what they're up to with that. Second thing, you know what? I'm going to skip over the second thing. I'm going to go to the third thing because I like the number two mention here the best.
Okay.
The last thing, Mini has introduced something called interactive wraps that show graphics and video on the surface of their cars. Now, we mentioned that Ryan's car is wrapped with, you know, his company logo and design.
Yep.
This one is like it's an electronic billboard, really. These interactive wraps. It's like you can program and display any message, image, anything that you want. Just a series of lights. It's almost like a rolling light show going down the road. It's got to be highly illegal, I would think, to have this on your car on the street.
Okay. Well. All right. One thing we do have to say, because this is a show for everybody, it's a family show. This interactive wrap thing, the technology is going to continue to evolve. One day it may be explicitly legal, but for right now, it's not really at the stage where it's a good idea for you to type an obscene message to somebody who's being a jerk in traffic.
I don't think you can do that. I think you have to pre-program it.
You do.
Though.
Secretly, though, that's what I want. Is I want to be able to type in, you know, I want to be able to type in speed up.
You know what? You could do that with, signals. You remember those rims that would do that?
Yeah, I remember those rims, yeah. But they're still too expensive.
Oh, they're very, very expensive. Now, I can't imagine what it costs
I
to
check
wrap
every
your
month.
Whole car, but this YouTube video is called Mini Art Beat. Your ride awaits. So if you want to look that up, you can find out, you know, what's going on with that.
It's a cool one. Yeah.
It's actually really, really cool. And, you know, I can see a place for this if someone gets a, you know, just a door. Like, almost like, you know, how you can adhere labels to the doors right now.
Yeah.
Or the back window or something. I'll admit, the whole vehicle, that was a little bit too flashy. That was a little too much to take in all at once. It was really, if you watch the video, you'll completely understand what I mean. It's just too much all at once.
It's like a Decatura truck.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good comparison, Ben. Those crazy Decatura trucks. But this is more like if you had an area, a designated area to display your message, and it changed every 5 seconds. You know, like let's say it said what you do, changed over to your phone number, changed over to whatever, an image of your work or something like that.
Sure.
Maybe that's something that, you know, they can work on, but that would be eventually legal. But I can't see, you know, the full rap being legal.
All right, we have to have a drum roll for the favorite fun thing.
All right, so my favorite fun thing that that Ryan mentioned here, and it was actually the second one in his list, the current world record e-brake parallel park record that is held by a Mini, and it was set in Japan. And Ben, this is one of those things you have to absolutely see it to believe it. You won't believe how tight these parking spaces are. Now, parallel parking doesn't sound all that exciting, right? What we're talking about is e-brake parallel parking, where they kind of drift into the parking spot.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody's seen that. You know, you approach from the opposite angle, you swing the car in, just the last second you pull the e-brake and the car just drifts right into the spot and it stops. We've seen it in movies, we've seen it in, you know, some other YouTube stuff, you know, like people trying to get away from police, et cetera, that type of thing. This is actually a competition for the Guinness World Record. And the way they measure it is they measure the size of your car. And in this case, they had three Minis. They had one Mini in front, one Mini in back.
Okay.
And then they measure the space that the person is going to attempt to e-brake park that Mini in, the Mini that they're driving. And they give them X number of centimeters on either side to be able to pull in. So
centimeters.
So they know the length of the Mini that you're driving.
Sure.
And they say, okay, the current world record is 22 centimeters, which is really incredible.
So we'll give you 20.
We're going to give you 20, right? So they set up the distance, right? And the person kind of drifts into the spot, and then they get out all these, you know, high-tech measuring devices, and they measure the distances between the bumpers, and they figure out exactly what it was. And they slowly start to edge the two cars that you're parking between closer together. And they get it closer and closer and closer and closer.
Until you can't do it.
Until finally, you know, finally someone just says, you know, I'm done. I'm going to end up smashing this car up. Or they actually try and they do smash it. The current world record, which was broken, I think in 2012. The guy's name is Han Yu. Now this was set in Japan. And I think his name is he's a Chinese person. So his name is Han Yu. And he shaved 7 centimeters from the record, which means that he was able to park in a space that was just 15 centimeters longer than the car that he was driving.
That's frighteningly good.
15 centimeters. Now that's less than 6 inches of space. So imagine less than 6 inches of space between combined front bumper and rear bumper.
So 3 inches.
A little
less than three on the side.
Three on either side. Now, when I watched what he was doing, it looked like most of the space was in the back. I mean, he pulled it right up to the back bumper of the other car in front of him. Fantastic thing to watch. It's not very long. This clip isn't very long, but you can search the video. It's Tightest Parallel Parking Record Beaten at New Mini Launch Guinness. That's the record, or the title. It's very long, but... Tightest parallel parking record beaten at New Mini Launch.
And those are just three of the fun things that people around the world are doing with their Minis. You know, Scott, I bet listeners of our show, aside from Ryan himself, also own Minis, and I'd love to hear what they're doing with theirs.
You know, again, that was just three that Ryan sent along to us, and I know that there's probably 100 or 200 other great video examples out there, or just even articles, or, you know, whatever, or just tales, you know, of people that have done amazing things with their Mini that, you know, we haven't heard about, you know, that friends have told friends, and that type of thing. So, you know, whatever you're doing with your Mini, write in and let us know, because Ryan wrote in and told us about his track day adventure. That was fun. Send some photos, some video. You know, some other exciting ideas around Mini, and that got us excited about doing this modern Mini podcast. And I hope we've covered most of everything. I know we haven't gotten to everything.
We never get to everything, but we hope that we have touched on some fascinating, interesting stuff for you guys. If you send us in some stories about your Mini, who knows, you may end up on our spiffy new website, carstuffshow.com. The only way to find out is to contact us. We are at Facebook, we are at Twitter, and you can always send us an email directly at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.